This is take two. My name is Raymond Goyce. Today is Monday, the 20th of January, 2013. This text is entitled Lucretius in Luxor. Why the extreme, pervasive, but only half-articulated sense of fear which informs the lives of those one meets in the United States? The especially high rate of violent crime, the intense anonymity and failure of engagement in social interactions, the lack of a national health service or the antediluvian public infrastructure. The social fabric is gradually, if visibly, unraveling, but overall the country is still prosperous, has tiny islands of high-tech efficiency floating above the general decay, no natural enemies capable of posing any significant threat, and in any case, it's armed to the teeth with the biggest military budget in the world. Crummy soldiers, to be sure, but very advanced equipment, and plenty of it. Universal surveillance systems and police forces capable of exerting significant levels of repression. Geographic isolation is no longer the formidable defense it once was, but it still offers some protection. There is then little reason for people to be so fearful and so brittle. The panic seems more intimately connected to social and political issues than to the standard topics of existentialist metaphysics. Gun control, organized health care, Islam, visible nipples, 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 nipples,
nipples, nipples,
international courts, evolutionary biology, government regulation of any kind except military, North Korea, visible ladies, nipples, 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 nipples,
nipples, nipples.
Chinese telemetry, illegal aliens, almost anything could throw Americans into a frightened rage. In any given instance, there might really be an undiagnosed danger. A table knife can inflict a serious wound. One can, in principle, choke even on a spoon, or get a nasty splinter from a chopstick.
China man, go home!
Perhaps anxiety is the reverse side of public bluster. The loud voice may affirm with all the appearance of complete confidence, "The Iraqi people will greet our troops with flowers, and we shall easily find local stooges who will pump out the oil in our interest." But the shouting might not completely overawe the small internal voices that ask, "What happens if the flowers are not forthcoming?" Then, of course, it's their problem. Smite the logs! Lucretius thought he'd found release. He tried to free us from illusions, from religion, and the fear of death. But Neo-Aztec counterfeits of this can easily take root and turn into the mirror image of that which he opposed. It is one thing actually to overcome fear of death, another altogether to be a member of a state religion devoted to the view that death is not an evil, especially if this state religion is backed up with inquisitorial and coercive power. Then there is something to fear. Are people better off when no one is irritable and at odds with society, bitter and angry, separate from others? Lucretius would need to live out his days anonymously in hiding, say, in Luxor, Upper Egypt, a placid province of the Pan-Arabic League, protected by the compact resistance of the Muslim authorities to any version of the death cult. Eisenhower in 1956, Bush Jr. in 2003, Obama in 2013, they all really turn out in the long run to be much of a muchness. Despite the hoopla about Obama, has anything changed? Obsession with the minutiae, general atmosphere, and personal style of regimes is a recipe for missing the point. How narrow the self-imposed limits of this politics. Guantanamo Bay is still there. Rumsfeld's war light, ideally without US casualties, can be more conveniently conducted by drones. And so it is. Rapprochement with Iran or Cuba is still off the agenda. Pharmaceutical companies and insurance firms still control the provision of health services and generate enormous profits for themselves in so doing. The gaps between speech, thought, and action are always places of uncertainty. Is a pluribus unum over a pyramid with an all-seeing eye an image of hope or the emblem of terror? The eagle is a carrion bird. Eagles, no nipples, no eagles, nipples, no eagles. Nipples. Here lies part of the answer to the question about la grande peur. If the culture itself and its secular religion is basically a huge death cult, falsely presenting itself as something vital, constructive, and affirmative, it would not be surprising if it generated very high levels of anxiety. Where else in the world would an immediate response to the massacre of children in a school be the proposal to arm the teachers? Pretense is always exhausting, and pretending that something is its very opposite is especially exhausting. Unhappy the country that needs ideals. Unhappier still the one that needs to talk about them compulsively. Most unhappy, though, is a place where the self-reinforcing cycle of fear and bluster hollows out the substance of human aspirations.